Hi, everyone. I'm Eileen Frere, along with the founder and CEO of the company, Doctors Randy McKinley. And this is the Business Exam Room podcast brought to you by the company Doctors. In this episode, we're going to shine the bright light on the business exam room table to talk about ways that you might not have thought of to pay off debt or to free up money to start a new venture, a new business. Daniel Blue is the owner of Quest Education, a company that helps entrepreneurs do just that by tapping into their retirement accounts penalty and tax-free. Daniel is also a regular contributor to Forbes.com, but he did not take the normal journey that many entrepreneurs take. More on how he got started and lessons learned the hard way. So Daniel, people look at you and they see a really successful guy, but the road to get to where you are today was not an easy one. And maybe take us back to when you were a teenager and what was going on with you and where were you headed at that time?
Yeah, so growing up, middle of the road, we didn't have a ton of money, but we weren't like dirt poor. At the end of the day, things really changed for me though. When I was 12 years old, parents got divorced. And what made the divorce unique is my dad ended up moving to Mexico. And prior to my dad moving, we were really close. Like he was my soccer coach. We were really close. And he just moved without telling me why he moved and never came back. And so I was left with a lot of questions and no answers. And it was just my mom and I. My mom was a child protective service worker in Orange County and San Diego County. So she had a really tough job working her tail off and raising a child on her own in California. As you know, it's very expensive out there. So she's working a ton. I didn't have a lot of supervision. And because of that, I started hanging out with the wrong people. Middle school, high school, I started getting into drugs and ditching school. So my future was not bright at that point in time. And I remember I graduated or I got finished with my junior year of high school. My mom pulled me aside. She says, "Hey son, like if you want to graduate high school, we're going to have to make a change. Like I'm worried about you. If you don't do something different, you're going to end up in jail. We got to do something with you." And she ended up actually helping me move to St. George, Utah. For those that don't know, St. George, Utah is a small little town in Utah. It's really close to Zion National Park. Beautiful out there. And we knew one family out there and I got to live with them. And that's where I finished my high school year, my senior year to actually graduate high school. So that was good. A change of scenery was good for me. And then because I was still struggling with my past and in terms of just my dad and whatnot, I didn't know who I was. I didn't have standards. I didn't have core values. So I started hanging out with the wrong crowd again. 18 years old, I got a good paying job in sales, but ended up getting addicted to Oxycontin. Around the same time, I went to college because that's what society told me to do. But I had no agenda. I didn't know what I was going to go to school for. 3 months into school, I dropped out, ended up, like I said earlier, getting addicted to Oxycontin and actually ended up getting a woman pregnant. And then 19 years old, I became a dad. And that was a really big life-changing moment for me. So needless to say, I didn't have the normal journey that a lot of entrepreneurs have in the sense of, I think a lot of entrepreneurs always grow up wanting to be a business owner. They like Gary V, right? Been hustling since, you know, elementary school, but that's not my story. I just fell into entrepreneurship just kind of based off of things I didn't want to experience again in my future, just based off my childhood.
Well, you're lucky to be alive, actually.
Yeah. I mean, reading all the reports now, it's crazy to see these big pharmaceutical companies settling for billions of dollars because they're just prescribing, you know, pills to make a ton of money. And then you read about fentanyl and just so many people are overdosing. Addiction to pills, it's a big problem that we have in this country.
So how did you figure out exactly what you wanted to do, like what you were good at?
At 18 years old, I got into coaching sales. I was selling real estate coaching over the phone and I didn't grow up wanting to be in sales. That was not something on my mind, but networking has been a key part of my success. I've always been a good networker and I was actually roofing at the time when I was 17 in high school. I was able to make $16, $17 an hour my senior year in school. I worked pretty much full time because I only had a couple classes. But in my roofing business, working for the company, I was able to meet certain people there and then networking with somebody that ran a sales team selling real estate coaching and networked with him. And I was able to start working at that firm and started at the very bottom, cold calling. And I didn't realize that I had a knack of being able to communicate with people over the phone and being able to listen and solve problems. And sales was a gateway for me. My first year, I was 18 years old. I made $100,000. I'd never had seen that kind of money before. So I did make a ton of money mistakes in my early years, but sales was definitely a catalyst in me being able to learn about money and then eventually being able to save enough money to start my own business 3 years ago.
The lessons that you learned back then, I mean, that's a ton of money, as you said, for an 18-year-old. And what were some of the mistakes that you made that even now, if you encounter people, that's one of the things that you tell them, you know, watch out for that.
What comes to my mind, especially because of when we're doing this podcast, it's 2021, the stock market, real estate market has been crushing it for a long time. I bought a property when I was 18 in 08, right? So right before the crash. And when I bought this property, I bought it because I thought it was cool. Like it was a cool thing to do. I'm making, you know, $2,000-$3,000 a week. Like, let's go. So bought a Range Rover. I'm like, let's buy a house too. So when I bought my house, I had no exit strategy. I didn't think about, okay, I want to own this house for this long. I was just like, it sounds cool to buy a house. And that was the wrong approach because, as we all know, the Great Recession happened, right? Housing values took a crap, you know, rental income went down the drain. So I ended up short selling that house. So that's something that I learned at a young age. Now, when I buy property, I'm thinking about, okay, how long do I want to own this asset for, right? Like the last property I bought, I went into it under the assumption that I'm going to own this property for 10 years. I don't care if the market takes a crap next year or 2 years from now, right? Like I'm not trying to refinance. I'm not trying to rent it out. I'm not trying to sell it. So I don't care. So just knowing your exit strategy with investments is huge. And then we hear about it on social media. We always hear about it in different podcasts, like just spend less than what you make. You know, I was spending more than I was making during that time. And I think ultimately though, we learn the best when we touch the stove and it's hot and we get burned. And I did a lot of that at a young age. And that was probably the best way for me to learn is to actually max out, you know, my finances and, you know, go to use my debit card when I was 18 years old and I overdrafted. And I'm like, how is that even possible? I'm making good money, but I'm making bad choices.
When you started Quest Education, that was back in 2018, mm-hmm. What was it that you saw? Like what void was there that you saw this can be filled?
Yeah. So the biggest problem that we solve in the marketplace is helping people tap into their IRAs and 401ks penalty and tax-free. It's a big problem that void needs to be filled because there's a lot of people that take money from their retirement account and pay 20, 30, 40% in penalties and taxes to the IRS. And maybe they want to use that money to pay off debt or start their business so they can leave their 9-to-5 job. So we have a way of being able to help people tap into their retirement accounts penalty and tax-free and then use that money how they want. Maybe pay off debt, fund a business, invest in real estate. The list goes on and on. But just being able to empower people to make their own choices, you know, once they have a lot more information that they're not going to get from their financial advisors or CPAs.
Quick question related to that. Are you borrowing the money? So you're paying yourself an interest, doing monthly payments, or you're able to go do a one-time exemption? How does that work?
It kind of depends. So like we had a client that came to us before or after she made a decision that cost her a lot of money. She needed to grab like $100,000 to invest into a real estate syndication, like kind of like a Grant Cardone play or, you know, the pool money. They buy an apartment complex, right? So she needed $100,000 to invest into this real estate fund. And she went to her financial advisor with like Morgan Stanley or Fidelity and said, hey, I want to use $100,000 to invest into, you know, this real estate investment. Can you help me? And he's like, yeah, we can't help you. You're going to have to take the money out. So she took the money out, paid penalties and taxes, and obviously paid a lot of money in that. So when we talked to her, we're just like, hey, in the future, you could just use the money, the $100,000 in your solo 401k or self-directed IRA. Those are two types of plans that we set up for people. And it's not a loan. You're just using the money in the account to purchase the investment. So it's not a loan. You're not paying yourself back. Instead of $100,000 owning, you know, a mutual fund in your retirement account, this $100,000, you know, is invested in this real estate asset. Interest and the principal just go back into your retirement account. So it's penalty and tax free. So in that scenario, it's not a loan. However, there are situations where a loan might make sense. There's a plan that we help a lot of entrepreneurs. It's called a solo 401k. As a loan feature, people can take a 50% value of the account or $50,000, whichever number is less. They can take that money out, penalty and tax free, and they can use that money however they want. They can use it to pay off their 20% interest rate credit card debt. They can use it to fund their online business business, there's no restriction. The caveat is, like you mentioned, it is a loan. So Randy, they would have to pay themselves back within 5 years to avoid the penalties and taxes. And there's an interest rate of about 5.25% on the loan, but they get the interest. So essentially they're their own bank.
It makes a lot of sense now that you've mentioned a couple scenarios. Going back to the first one, which I think is intriguing, small businesses need to understand about this more, is if you have a 401k, if I'm hearing you correct, you're deciding to make an investment just like you would buy a mutual fund, or you would buy a bond, or you may buy a stock in your 401k. Instead, you're turning around and saying, hey, you know what? Let me go use that money. I want to go and do this real estate investment. It's still treated as a deferred, a deferred asset, if I said it correctly, for your retirement. So it's not taxed. So that's actually a smart move.
Yeah, exactly. They're just replacing the stock or the mutual fund their retirement account owns with this alternative asset, right? Like a promissory note or a private equity play, or, you know, a private lending deal, things like that. So the retirement account still owns the asset. It's just an off Wall Street type of asset.
Can you look at the number of small businesses in the United States? That's probably, depending on what you say, 31, 32 million, somewhere in that range, give or take. What's interesting, if you look at those small businesses, they have at most about, I believe it's about 80 some percent of those small businesses would need funding of some type after 60 days. So if you think of the pandemic, this world has gone on, this is a great tool for them to go help their business.
Yeah, no, the plan that we help a lot of our clients with, customers in all 50 states, about 1,000 customers right now, is a solo 401k. And that's a plan specifically designed for an entrepreneur with no W-2 employees. It can be a spouse or you that owns a business that gets W-2 wage, but this is great for like real estate agents, you know, solopreneurs, freelancers, consultants, you know, just any kind of entrepreneur with no W-2 employees. And what they can do is they can take the 401k from their old job or the IRA and get it moved over to the solo 401k and then access that money penalty and tax-free. One of our customers, she was working at Great Clips. I think they probably have Great Clips out in your area. I'm just like that big franchise hair salons. And she was managing those for a number of years, got tired of it, wanted to start an online business, didn't want to borrow money from the banks. She wanted to use her own money, her retirement account. And she was able to tap into that account penalty and tax-free with our help and use that money to buy a bunch of inventory. And that was able to get her online business going, where, you know, she was able to make enough money where, you know, these days she works from home full-time, quit her job at Great Clips, and is running her business from home, you know, making enough funds to cover her bills. And a big reason was because of what you just said, you know, the idea of a business needing funding. You know, a retirement account is another option, you know, another tool in the tool belt, if it makes sense for people.
Absolutely.
Is there anyone who this would not be for?
So if you have the solo 401k particularly, if you're an entrepreneur and you have W-2 employees, then per the IRS, you don't qualify for the solo 401k, but you can still set up a self-directed IRA. If you are someone like me that has a business with W-2 employees, or someone else listening to this that has W-2 employees, you can still set up self-directed 401ks and self-directed IRAs. So there are other options that are out there. Just so I'm super clear, you know, our niche, who we can show the most value to, are those solopreneurs, you know, those entrepreneurs with no W-2 employees. But if, you know, we're on the phone with someone that has W-2 employees, you know, there's still some options that are out there, and we could provide some insight to hopefully make a difference.
When you talk about the solo entrepreneur, if you just take a look at, believe, the world, I believe that's 582 million entrepreneurs who are out there. There's a lot of people wanting to go, who have ideas, who want to go do something. One of the biggest holdups is really being able to go tap into some funds. So it sounds like if you've been in business, you got a 401k, you would want to roll it over into this. And then now it's a tool in your tool belt to help them potentially get their startup or their idea off the ground.
Yeah, for sure. Especially if, you know, eventually you want to use the bank's money. You know, when I started Quest Education, you know, I got a bunch of money at 0% interest, you know, when I funded the business using credit cards. But Chase would not have given me that 0% credit card if I didn't have good personal credit. And I wouldn't have good personal credit if I didn't have my credit card debts down, right? So if you're listening to this and you have a 401k from an old job or an IRA, and, you know, you qualify for a solo 401k, and you've got credit card debt that's costing you 10, 15, 20%, it's also costing you not just the interest, but it's costing your credit score, right? The lower our credit score is, the less options we have for, you know, cheaper financing, car loan, home loan, business loans, right? So if you could use your retirement account that's only making you, let's just say 6-8% a year to pay off credit card debt that's costing you 20% a year, the math makes sense there. And then if you're paying off 20% interest rate credit card debt or just credit card debt in general, your utilization rate goes down, credit score goes up, and now you have more options to get additional financing and get cheap money. Because it's always good to use OPM, other people's money, the bank's money, you know?
Now that is good advice. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Daniel is not just a business owner, he's also an author. His book, Blueprint to Your Best Retirement, is an Amazon bestseller. We talk more with him about that, as well as a couple of things as business owners you really need to have in place now. That's coming up. The Company Doctors has a senior team with a combined 115 years of hands-on business expertise and includes a PhD, a marketing expert, IT specialist, a media PR professional, a former bank president, and Randy McKinley, a turnaround guru with more than 25 years of experience with Fortune 100 companies right down to mom and pops.
Better profits, reduced taxes, increased cash flow. Do you wish you could get results like that? Well, you can. To date, we've helped 68 companies and counting make more money with bookkeeping, accounting, business support services, and our best practices. How do we do it? Very simple. We are a team of business professionals who have run businesses. We are certified professional bookkeepers, which is rare, and business accountants and business turnaround experts. We use our proprietary tools to get a 360-degree view of your business, find ways so we can cut costs, add in secure virtual platform, key technology, all parts of bookkeeping accounting can seamlessly be done anywhere and at all times. You can see we are the next level in bookkeeping accounting for small and mid-sized businesses. Or maybe you need part-time, maybe you need full-time, something in the middle. We encourage you to do an A-B comparison for your own benefit. Also, regardless if you need bookkeeping accounting, we want to help you make more money. Thus, we offer all businesses free of charge our 1 hour I Want to Make More Money business review. So we encourage you to go to our website, schedule your free 1 hour I Want to Make More Money business review. Go to thecompanydoctors.com, that's drs.com. Click on the appointment scheduler for a discovery call to learn more and let us help you get your business making you more money today free of charge.
We're back with Daniel Blue. He just released his book called Blueprint to Your Best Retirement, How to Access Your Retirement Account Penalty and Tax-Free. We pick up our conversation with him about that and why he took on the challenge of writing a book.
In business, we have to evolve, right? And I've been a business owner for 3 years now. However, I've been in, you know, senior management for a number of years now, right? I'm 32 years old. So I've been in management now for about 11 years. So I've seen a lot of the back end and the inner workings, and things are changing. As a business owner, you have to evolve. And I just know that, especially over the last few years, things are changing, especially with social media. Like, you have to have a brand. And I could always just do my business and run my business one way and not change, or I can see kind of the trends and what's happening and adapt. And I just know having a personal brand is massive. I'm not saying you can't run a business and make money without a personal brand. I have a lot of friends that have 200 Instagram followers that are doing 8 figures in business, right? So I want to make sure that I'm super clear there. However, I just know that there's a lot of opportunity for people to have personal brands. And I just know if I can check off the list of, you know, having my own podcast, you know, being a published author, you know, speaking on stage, being on more podcasts, you know, writing content for Forbes, getting public on publication, just having more attention, the good kind of attention that provides value, the ROI on that over a 1 year, 3 year, 10 year period of time is going to be massive. So I'm in it for the long game. And I know personal brand is going to be a huge part in that. And that's where the book fits in.
Well, and I think that's good. You brought something up. It was personal branding. I think a lot of people miss this. Everybody has a brand. Things you're talking about is your personal brand, is you're enhancing your personal brand by doing these other things to get that exposure, having people get to know you, see who you are, recognize that people may have issues in their past, but you look at your character, you're getting that out there where now people go, hey, you know, that's a brand I want to associate with. And that's really what it gets down to, is people make decisions on who they want to associate with. And that's really because they're evaluating that personal brand.
Yeah. And I wanted to get something in people's hands that they can touch see and feel. I wanted to be able to help people pull back the curtain and help people understand, you know, what our team has been doing for our customers over the years, and teaching about the solo 401k, having them understand, you know, how they can access that money penalty and tax-free, how they can make tax-free money, you know, how they can see all of the BS fees that they're paying for their retirement accounts that they're not even aware of, you know, just really giving them the knowledge. And if they choose to do business with us, great. If not, I know I'm making a difference. I know when they get done reading that book, there's going to be at least 1, 2, 3, 5 different things. They're going to be like, oh, I didn't know about that.
You deal with so many businesses. And what lessons do you think they've learned after 2020 and the pandemic and the uncertainty of the pandemic? If there's something out there that maybe you've noticed with businesses that they're all like, oh man, I wish I would have done that earlier.
So two things come to my mind. One is getting your finances, your house in order. And this can apply to every business out there, whether you are a solopreneur, contractor, W-2 employees, on your own. If you have your finances in place, like really good bookkeeping, a good credit score, you're going to have a lot of options. There's a lot of people out there when the pandemic hit hard that needed cash, that needed money, but they had maybe a crappy personal credit score. Like, I don't care what kind of business that you have. Like, you're probably going to need a good personal credit score to get a business line of credit. Like, our personal credit scores are huge in the underwriting process. And a lot of people wish that they would have worked on their personal credit or the personal finances or having better bookkeeping when they applied for the PPP loan or any kind of SBA loan, right? So it's always good to have your house in order and act like you need the money when you don't need the money. So in that way, when you need the money, you're good. Like, you can take action, you have all the paperwork and your ducks in a row, and you're efficient. You can move forward. You can take action. So that's one. Two, and these are for the entrepreneurs that have W-2 employees. I'm just sharing, you know, kind of what I went through last year. I'm a small company, got about 13 employees. We were so used to working together. We were so used to just like giving each other a fist bump and like, good morning, how are you? And just like that face-to-face interaction. And we all of a sudden we went from that to, you know, Google Chat and emails and Zooms. That was tough. That was challenging. Now things are open back up. I'm doing this podcast right now in my office. I'm looking at a couple employees right now. I don't have all of my employees in my office though. I have some of them working remote, and some of them are still going to work remote, not because they're afraid of the virus and they're afraid to come in. It's just because they can do their jobs and we can still hold them accountable working from home. And as long as the results are there, I don't care, right? A lot of my employees have told me that they're really happy with where they're at. You know, they can take an hour break and get their laundry done or go see a doctor or just run some errands, but they still get their work done. So that's been good. Like, you have to be able to adapt. I'm fully under the belief that employers are going to have to adapt to the COVID situation, you know, with kind of remote, hybrid, you know, one way or the other. There's just going to be some different changes that you're going to have to be willing to make.
That's something that you mentioned just a second ago. You're talking about people getting their personal finances in order. I don't think people realize, you know, they want to go be an entrepreneur, start a business. You go do an SBC loan, you go to a small community bank, you go anywhere out there, unless you're probably a $20 million company that is rolling, you would need to be a personal guarantor on that loan. And the company has to prove that they're successful to pull that off. So a lot of people think, well, hey, I started a business and I can go get a loan. The part that everybody has left out, which you touched on, is no, your personal credit, they're going to take your assets and tie it onto it. Here's your house, car, here's everything. And they're looking at your credit card. It's like, hey, I get a 600 score. You may get knocked out. A lot of small businesses can't get a loan. They're forced to go other avenues where they're doing factoring and different things, which is may not be the right way to do it, but they don't have any alternative.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people learned that lesson during COVID. I think it's really popular right now to, you know, have entrepreneur or CEO on your Instagram profile, and all of a sudden you think that you're going to get loans left and right from the bank. Banks don't care about your cool LLC name. You know, they don't care that, you know, last month you had some good revenue. Like, what's your profit look like, right? It's all about profit at the end of the day. And they want to see, you know, multiple years of tax returns. Like you said, they want to see your personal credit. I think a lot of people underestimate their personal credit. They think just because they have a business bank account with a business credit card and a business debit card that their personal credit takes a back seat. That's not true. I think a lot of people learned that the hard way last year.
And one last question, Daniel, where do you see Quest Education in maybe the next 5 or 10 years? What do you hope to see?
I want to get this thing to a point where, you know, we've got 50, 100 employees, you know, and we're helping out, you know, 5,000-10,000 customers, you know, being able to really make an impact on that kind of scale and just make a difference in people's lives. It's awesome seeing our testimonials and hearing, you know, our customers talk about how they could, you know, use their retirement account to, you know, start a business and leave their 9-to-5 job. Like, that's huge. Like, that's making a massive difference in someone's life, all because of something like a solo 401k, something that their financial advisor or CPA, you know, isn't able to talk to them about for whatever reason. So just keep making a difference in people's lives and keep growing my team, because if I can keep breeding leaders and grow the team and they're in a good spot, I know we're going to provide a exceptional service to our customers and they're going to be happy campers. And that's what it's about.
I really appreciate you coming on. I think this is good. I think this is important. People need to understand this, and there's such a gap. And then hopefully we can fill some of that gap with this information. I think people need it.
For sure. Well, Randy, Eileen, it was a pleasure speaking with you, and I appreciate you guys having me on your show.
Daniel Blue is the owner of Quest Education. His new book, an Amazon bestseller called Blueprint to Your Best Retirement, is available on Amazon or through his website, danielblue.me. That's Daniel Blue, like the color, .me. We're always looking for inspiring stories. If you've got one you'd like to share or know someone who you think should be put under the spotlight, contact us through the Company Doctors website. That's thecompanydrs.com. Click on the charity link. Until next time, wishing good health to you, your family, and your business.
The information provided is intended solely for educational and cannot be used as a substitute for professional advice and or information, as circumstances will vary from person to person and company to company. You should not act or rely upon information without seeking professional advice. Do not attempt any of the suggestions, actions, solutions, remedies, or instructions discussed on this podcast without first consulting with a qualified professional. The materials are not intended to be, nor do they constitute actionable professional advice. Transmission of this information is not intended to create a professional-client relationship between the company doctors and you.